purpose in their creation is to stand, sit, or kneel at the throne of God and to declare unto Him that He is holy. Not because He needs to be reminded of that, but because all of creation needs to be reminded of that. You see, we don't sing, "You are holy, God," to let Him know He's holy. I think He's already got that figured out. But it reminds me, I'm rooted and grounded in my need to connect with the most holy God. And so when I declare, "Santo, Santo, Santo," when I declare, "You are holy," I'm bringing my own self, my own earth, my own being into alignment with who He is already. I'm not reminding Him. I'm waking myself up and I'm saying, "You are holy. Tú eres santo. Tú eres santo, Señor." Glory to God. Why don't you shake yourself in whatever language you can declare it in? Just begin to declare around the throne of God, "You are holy. You are holy. You are holy. Santo, santo, santo es el Señor." Woo! No, we got to stay calm today. We got to stay calm today. We got carried away last week. We got to stay calm today. Oh, my God. Tranquilo, por favor. Just calm down a little bit, all right? Y'all getting carried away. Whew. And when He comes in the room, oh, my God. Do you hear the angels in this room today? He's come in the room. And the angels are on their face before God saying, "Holy. Oh, holy. Holy. Holy are You, Lord. Oh, my God. Holy, holy, holy." Why are we taking time to do this morning? I'm telling you because He's here. Why are we taking time? Because we're shaking ourselves and awaking ourselves. Why? Despierta, por favor. Escúchame. El Señor está aquí. He is here. He is here. Holy, holy is the Lord. In all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything. I will adore You. Shirley, do you hear the angels singing this morning? Hallelujah. 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 With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are ready to do something. If you just push it a little bit farther. Think about the woman with the issue of blood. If she would have stood on the outskirts, if she would have waited, she wouldn't have received what she needed. She wouldn't have been healed. She wouldn't have been made whole. Some of us in this room need to be made whole. And if we don't press in this morning, oh my God, do you hear me? If we don't press in, if we don't move in, if we don't get bowed low, if we don't get a little uncomfortable this morning, hey. Children can go ahead and be dismissed into their classes this morning. Tócalo. Yeah. It's okay if we just sit here for a minute. Stand, sit, kneel, cry, lay, whatever you got to do. Tócalo. Father, I pray that this morning you will anoint our ears to hear. Let the oil of the Holy Spirit be applied. Father, anoint my mouth, anoint my tongue, that the words I say would not be my own, but they would become from the throne of heaven. El trono de cielo. Trono de cielo. I need you, Lord, this morning. I need you. Te necesito. I need you. I need you. I need you. Thank you. You can be seated for just a moment. There's a sweet spirit in this place, I'm telling you, and I'm believing for more. There are some things that you can eat or drink, and you can say, I tasted it. I did it. You know what I'm talking about? There are some things, you know, that, you know, I remember the first time I tasted calamari, I said, well, I tasted it. I just don't care for it. Not that it's bad, I just don't care for it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Grandma would fry up some different types of foods, and some of them, you know, oh, I really like that. And, you know, some things like gizzards, I just never did care for. So I just say, I'm okay. I don't need any more of that. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And so it is with God. Except it's the opposite. Can't get enough. Do you hear me? Do you have that like-mindedness this morning? Can't get enough. I need more. I need more. I need more. God bless you this morning. I'm so glad that you're here. Pray that those of you who were here last week received a touch from God, just as you do every week. But I was just amazed at what God did. And so when he was speaking to my heart about the messages for Wednesday and for today, I was excited. I said, all right, I'm ready. Brother Jim, getting me ready. I'll be a preaching machine. And the Lord said, but wait a minute. You see, and let me just share. This is a process for all of us. And the Lord said, but if you preach the Lord of the breakthrough every week, and by the way, if you weren't here, or you didn't hear it, and it would minister to you, if there's something you need in your life today, I encourage you to go to the website and download it for free or listen to it for free. But last week we talked about the Lord of the breakthrough, and it was powerful, and God moved and did some things. But the Lord spoke to me on Monday morning. You know how it is. It just like the way I know God is speaking to me is because it doesn't make any sense. No entiendo. Cuando Dios está hablando a mí, no entiendo. It doesn't make sense. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. So, on Monday morning, as I was in my quiet time, and he just began to speak to me, and I said, but, you know, God, that's not shouting material. That's not real exciting. Why? He said, this is what the Lord said, and I hope you're mature enough to understand it. He said, my people cannot hear a word of breakthrough every week, because when they got up this morning, some of them, even when they walked out of the building, were so overcome with their guilt and their shame and their personal issues, because they don't even understand who I am, that they could not receive or maintain what my spirit poured out upon them. And I said, but God, you deliver people. He said, but I have to work on their minds. I have to deliver their hearts and their minds and their souls, because their spirit has been set free. You know, your body, soul, and spirit. Your spirit has been changed and set free. But God has to do a work, a process on your mind, your soul, your will, your emotions. And so some of us, when we got out of here, even on Sunday, even though we were touched by God and He did some things in our lives, we were not able to maintain it even for that 24-hour period, because we have made up in our mind, based on things that have happened, situations in our life, who God is. ¿Quién es el Dios? Who God is to me. And some of us have made up wrong choices based on our life circumstances and situations. We don't understand who He really is. Pastor, He's God. Yes, I understand that. But can I say something without you being offended at me? If you really knew who God was, you wouldn't still be where you are. And I'm not talking about Wilkes County. I'm not talking about in your house. I'm talking about in your spiritual walk. If we really understood, because it's all of us. I'm talking about Pastor. I'm talking about Pastor Kieran. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about all of us, even the most mature among us. If we really had no hindrances, no problems in our own life that held us back, we would be farther than we are. But we have believed some things about God that aren't true. So God put this on my heart, and He said, this is what I want you to preach about. And I said, can we talk about it? If you would, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to go back to the scripture reference that I referenced last week. It is in 2 Samuel chapter 5, but I'm going to read a small portion of it because I want you to see this. I want you to hear this for a moment. Chapter 5, verse number 17. Verse number 17. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. And David heard of it and went down to the hold. Last week, some of you were anointed. I'm going to continue, but I want to stop here for 1 second. Some of you received something, received an inheritance, received a call from God, received a summons from God. He spoke to you about who you were. And as soon as that happened, now, again, we don't spend a lot of time talking about el diablo, talking about Satan, talking about the enemy of our soul. But el diablo, he exists. So I'm not here to give him glory, but I'm here to remind you that when God speaks to you, when you receive a blessing, when you receive a breakthrough in your own life, there is still an assignment from hell that comes to you to try to steal and to kill and to destroy. We would be foolish if we did not understand that. We would be foolish if we did not plan for that. We would be foolish. Some of you, even before you got to the parking lot, somebody ticked you off. Even before you got out of here, somebody offended you. Even before you woke up the next morning, something was attacking you. Something was happening to you. And what I'm trying to tell you is that we have to settle within our hearts who God is. And so we hear David. David has been anointed king over all of Israel. And immediately his enemies come against him. If we're not careful, we'll put a face on our enemy. But the Word of God says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So can you leave your brothers and sisters alone? Pastor didn't do this to you. You understand what I'm saying? We don't wrestle against Brother Anthony. He's the least frustration to me. He's awesome. It's not him. It's not you. It's the enemy of my soul. So anyway, he says, the Philistines came up and they spread themselves out. Verse number 19 says, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. What I want to talk to you about today, the subject that I'm continuing from Wednesday night, is God is so I can be. I looked at that subject in two different ways. As just a statement, brother, God is so I can be. God exists so I can live. Right. That's cool. I can handle that. That's a good word. Right. God is so I can be. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. You know that song? Because he lives. And that's a good one. Then I looked at it another way and I said, God is blank. So I can be blank. And I offer you an opportunity to question your own lives this week and put something in those blanks. God is my healer, so I am healed. God is my deliverer, so I am delivered. God is my refuge, so I am safe. You understand what I'm saying? God is, so I can be whatever. Because God demonstrates himself to his people in the manifestation that they need at that moment. How many of you know that God provides? The only way that you know God provides is, well, maybe they taught you in Sunday school class, but the only way you really know is when you have a lack and you need provision. You need something. The only way you know God is healer is if you were sick and you needed the touch of heaven. You understand what I'm talking about? And that's how we look to God. God is so I can be. The reason that we must look to him for our purpose in our life and our understanding is because Genesis 1 says that I am made in the image of God. I'm not God. You're not God. Sorry. I spent enough time with you to know you're not divine, and you spent enough time with me to know I'm not divine. You're scared to say amen. Regina wasn't. Regina was jumping up and down. Hallelujah! Yeah. Okay. You know. But I'm made in his image. That means that there are characteristics of God that exist in my very being, in my DNA. And so I'm made in his image by him. By him, he created me. The Bible says, out of the dust of the earth, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So I'm made in his image by him. He created me. And I'm created in God's image by God for God. Our purpose, our plan for our lives is for fellowship and relationship with God. God created you to give glory to his name. God created you to have someone to spend time with. God created you for love. Who wants, well, some of you do, but who wants these robots standing next to you saying, you're awesome, you're wonderful, you're great, you're fantastic. Some of you would like to go out and purchase one of those. But if you're really understanding a relationship, there is power in a relationship where that person does not have to put up with you. But they choose to because they love you. You understand what I'm saying? That's different. That's different than paying somebody. Whole different ballgame. Whole different ballgame. So God did not, he had the angels to cry, holy, holy, holy is he. But he needed someone who didn't have to do what he told them. He wanted someone who was willing to love him just because. So you're created in the image of God, by God, for God. And God continues to speak to us about his will. God continues to talk to us in a conversation about what he wants us to do. Some of us believe that God's only design in our life was when we were created, when we were conceived, when we were born. And then you're even wondering if God had anything to do with that. But he does. But we get caught up in life and we allow other people, we allow our parents, we allow our brothers, we allow our sisters, we allow our husbands, our wives, our teachers, our doctors, we allow our bosses to define who we are and tell us who we are. Anybody relating this morning? Are you tracking with me? Are you tracking with me? We allow other people to speak into our lives and tell us who we are. And a lot of times we forget to go back to the Creator and say, God, who am I? I mean, think about it. Just in the last week, how many of you have spent any time with God saying, God, reveal more of yourself in me. Tell me what my purpose is. And some of us are frustrated in our lives because we don't feel fulfilled. We don't feel like We have walked in the path that we're supposed to go. We feel like there's something missing. There's something wrong. Everything's just not quite right. You know, like that crazy aunt that you have. There's just something not right. You know. You better not laugh, Courtney. You got some aunts in here. You better be careful. Get her. Get her, Miss Mary. Get her. Get her. Do you understand what I'm saying? Something's just not quite right. And so instead of going to the one who could reveal to us what we need to know, we go to him or her and say, will you define me, baby? We don't say that, but you know that's what we're doing. We go to a job and we say, tell me who I am. We go to the school and we say, give me the degree to give my life validity. We go to a pastor and we say, Pastor, tell me who I am. Define me. But in reality, we're always looking at the wrong person in the wrong place, because God says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, when you know who you are, you're at rest. When you have a defined understanding of who God intended you to be, there's a rest that comes over you and you say, ah. That's why David was continually in the Psalms saying, Selah, pause and reflect. Think on this. That's deep. That's why he was saying that, because he was finding rest in who he was in God. So instead of us looking for other people to tell us who we are, we must look at who God is so I can know who I am to be. And if we're not careful, you know, I came from a church where if you came in looking the wrong way, they drag you to the altar. Did you hear that, to honor? Amen. She's preaching with me this morning. They would meet you at the door and say, oh, let me get that makeup off your face. Let me give you some better clothes to wear. Let me fix you before you can be presentable to God. And so if we're not careful, we have other people in our lives that do that too. That doesn't just happen in church. That happens other places too. You're not good enough. You're stupid. You don't know nothing. You're not a man. You ain't nobody. You ain't nothing. Tell me we don't hear that. Well, if only you would, then maybe. You understand what I'm saying? Where God says, no, I designed you, so unless you believe that I do things by mistake, can get no help in here today. So God spoke to me and said, there are three things that I want you to talk about, and I want to talk about them today. Who is God? Three things you need to know about who God is. First one, God is love. If you look in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7 and 8, he says, and you can write it down, you can go there if you want, but I don't have much time, so I want to hit it. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God. Here we go. Because. Thank you. That was almost a participation. Because God is love. God is love. That's different than saying God loves you. That's different than saying God loves you. That's different. That's not the same thing. God is love is not the same thing as God loves. There's a difference. The difference is I can love. But I don't know about you, but I've been having some sinus problems because of the allergies and the things in the air. And don't ask my wife, and don't volunteer anything, honey. But you know, I'm not always the friendliest when I'm in not feeling right up here. And so you know, and I'm pretty good about it most of the time. Again, I appreciate you not inquiring. But most of the time, I'm okay. But there are times in my life where I'm not the friendliest person in the world. I try to limit that, but it just happens. I know none of you are, right? So for us to say about ourselves, I am love, we can't understand that. It doesn't make any sense because the personification of love, being love, not loving, but being love, means that every single thing you do, todas las cosas, everything you do, is done from a position of love. Have you ever met anybody that you can say that about? Anybody? I haven't. So the problem then becomes, I don't understand that. It's hard for me to comprehend that God is love. Because my experience with humankind is that from time to time they're going to use me. From time to time, they're going to abuse me. From time to time, they're going to talk bad about me. From time to time, they're going to stab me in the back. From time to time, they're going to find fault with me. From time to time, they're going to put me down. From time to time, they're going to turn around on me and attack me. You understand? So for me to understand that God is love and that He can't do those things is kind of foreign and kind of hard. And I don't know if I can trust that. Think about it. How many of you have a friend or a relative who has done you wrong? And in the next time that they come around, you're kind of hesitant. You kind of look, well, looky here, who's coming back? And what do you want? You understand what I'm talking about? So if we're not careful, these things that have become part of our lives because of the experiences that we've had and the things that we've gone through, they color our thinking. They color our perspective. And so when God begins to speak to us and tell you, I love you, yeah, right. Just give it 5 minutes. Some of us don't even believe that we merit or deserve God's love. Can I tell you, honestly, unequivocally, on every level, you don't. Not because you're a bad person, but just because you can't earn His love. It's not possible. I'm not trying to tell you you're an awful human being, you're a sinner going to hell. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is you're not perfect and you cannot earn His love. He loves you because He created you in His image for Himself. Oh my. God is love. And if you were to define love, you still would not be able to completely understand what love is because God's love goes beyond. It goes beyond any explanation. It goes beyond any thought. So going back to the text this morning in 2 Samuel, when David heard that his enemy had come before him and was trying to attack him. It seems loud to me. When his enemy was coming, and it seemed like his enemy was going to attack him, what's the first thing he did? Now, let's stop there and let's turn it around. Can we be honest with each other today? And I don't need you to say it out loud. If you don't even want to write it down, you don't have to. But let me ask you this question. If your enemy, maybe even it happened this week, if the enemy of your soul, if something, if a situation came at you to attack you, what would you do? That's a hard question, because I'm asking you to be honest with yourself, and you don't have to tell your spouse, but if you better be careful. If it's like my wife, she'll tell you what you'd do. And she'd be right. You know what I'm saying? So just think about it. What would you do? There was a time in my life where I would go to the grocery store or the pizza place, and I'd get stocked up, baby. I'd sit and eat. Anybody ever been that way? I don't know. Whatever your issue is. Some of you want to say, well, I need a cigarette. Some of you want to say, well, I need to go out here and I need to roll one. Some of you would say, well, I need to go out here and I need to snort something. Some of you would say, well, I need to go out here and get a hookup. I need to go and do this. And let's be honest. Is it okay if we're being honest today? Some of us look to the natural things to some of us sit in our rooms and have a pity party for ourselves. You ever meet somebody like that? You know what I'm talking about. That's just the way life is. That's so all of us deal with what we deal with the way we deal with it. But what I'm trying to get to is, how many of you would immediately run to God and say, God, I need help with this? But we don't do it. Why? Why don't we do it? Because I'm going to say probably 9 out of 10 people, you would say, oh, bless God. Yes, I would go. No, you wouldn't. I mean, I hope you would, but hear me. I'm too well versed in human nature. I know that your first response is generally not to fall on your knees before God. And God is saying to us, but that's what I called you to do. Why was God always with David? We see it in the scripture so plainly. Because when the enemy came in, David immediately said, God, what should I do? Instead of running for one of his vices, because we know he had plenty. What should I do? Why don't we trust him? Again, this is a foundational question that if you do not answer, it doesn't matter how many people put oil on your head, lay you out on the floor, allow you to feel the power and the presence of God. It doesn't matter how long, how high, how greatly you speak in tongues. It doesn't matter how long you pray. It doesn't matter what you do. If you do not answer these questions, if you do not determine in your heart that you believe that God is who He said He is, you can never maintain your victory. It is not possible. Because you will always find yourself going back. Always. Some of you are, even as you're sitting here, thoughts and ideas are coming to you about things in your life where you're always going back. Hear me. Those things, and I want to say something right now. Those things are not coming to you for shame. If they come to you with shame, if they come to you with oppression, you need to declare those things. Go. Because that's not why God reveals things. God reveals things in the light so that truth can penetrate. Because where the truth of God is, there is freedom. Ooh. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is truth. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. So when God reveals something in your life, it's not to shame you. You've put up with too many people beating you over the head and telling you how bad you are. I'm not trying to do that. What I'm trying to tell you is that there is a supernatural breakthrough that is ready for you, waiting for you, if you allow the light of God to reveal within your heart and your life your weaknesses and your issues. They're not to tear you down. They're not to keep you humble. They're to keep you before the face of God. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? They're not to make you feel like you are less than. There is no second class Christian. It does not exist. We are all saved. Ooh, I'm preaching good. So, do you trust Him? That's what the question comes down to. Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him? It's easy to say yes, and they've taught us in church to say yes. Yes, yes, Lord, yes. And in the heat of the moment, we answer. We answer in that affirmative, yes, Lord, I'll say yes, I'll do whatever you want. What is wrong with you? You're getting on my nerves. I'm up in here trying to get my praise on, and you acting foolish. You understand what I'm saying? Because we haven't made a decision about who God really is in our life. Every time there's a challenge, we back down. Do you understand that your life is not supposed to be a life of chicken? It's not supposed to be how long can you last before you get out of the way. Do you hear me? And yet some of us are living our life by playing chicken with the enemy. Well, I'm going to stay here for a minute. I'm not going to blink. Okay. You understand what I'm talking about? Oh, my God. I got to get going. God's will for our lives is the foundation of His love relationship with us. I'm talking about God's will for your life because the things that come at you, the things that you deal with, the things that you war with, the torment that you have in your life is for no other reason except to keep you out of God's will for your life. Do you hear me? God has a will for your life. And His will for your life is a love relationship. That's where it starts. His will and His commands for our lives help us to avoid getting in the wrong places. God's instructions do not restrict. You see, I was brought up with a lot of men's instructions that restricted. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you understand what I mean? God's design for your life is not meant to make you miserable. Well, He's doing a good job of it if it's not. Tell me you don't think that from time to time. Why do I have to deal with this again? But in reality, God is love, and His love is perfect. But how many of you don't even believe that God really loves you? How could He love me? I'm not lovable. The second thing that God is He's all-knowing. Well, Pastor, these are things that we were taught in Sunday school. Yes, I know. But I'm just telling you, we still don't have a hold of them. And so hear me. The second thing is God is all-knowing. There's a big word we use for that. God is omniscient. I like that word. But we just say He knows everything. Is that okay? God knows everything. He's all-knowing. So if God is all-knowing, His directions are always right. If God is love, and if He tells you to do something, it's out of love for Him. If He allows something to come into your life, He allows a situation or a purpose, it's not because He hates you. How many of you have had people in your life who would do things to you just to torment you? You know what I'm talking about? Brother, sister, spouse. God, I hope not. But you understand what I'm saying. God isn't like that. He doesn't do things to you just to torment you, just to upset you, just to anger you, just to frustrate you. Everything He does is for a purpose to make you better. It's for a purpose. The problem is I can't see the purpose, but God is all-knowing. He knows more than I know. So because He knows everything, what He's asking you to do is not too much. When He gives us a directive, you can be sure that He has considered every factor. You know, there are people, especially, you know, in my former job, when somebody would would offer a suggestion to me, I didn't trust very many people because I knew more than they did. Because I knew better than they did. And they didn't always see the whole picture. You understand what I'm saying? And so in our lives, we feel the same way too. Well, God, that's nice. I'm glad that you put that on my heart, but you haven't considered this. You know what I'm saying? Or Jennifer will say, well, let's go do this. I said, but have you thought about? Well, what about this? Well, have you considered? So when God speaks to us, we say, well, hold up just a minute, God. Have you thought about this? Maybe this might be a better way to do it. See, don't tell me you don't do that, because we treat God just the way we treat other people. And we say, but God, you don't understand. Let me school you just a moment. Let me give you some information that you might have been lacking, Holy Spirit. You don't understand. Now, you don't say those words out of your mouth, but your actions, again, in your life speak volumes over what your own personal words say. So when God puts something on your heart, or he speaks to you, or he tells you that I love you, you say, yes, but. When he calls you to do something, you say, yes, but. Because we don't understand that he knows everything. He knows your past, your present, and your future. He knows it all. But we don't. We're limited. So we try to do it our way. You know people like that? You understand what I'm talking about? It's my way or the highway. How many options do you need God to give you? Think about it. Let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. God, I don't think I want what's behind door number one. Door number two looks good, but I think I can smell something behind it. It might be one of them goats. You've seen that show. You know what I'm talking about. And so let's try door number three. I'm sorry. Nobody else in here tries to make deals with God. Well, I'll preach to myself. That's okay. I've got to stop trying to make deals with God. I don't need God to give me more options. When he speaks to my heart and he talks to me and he leads me and he guides me, the first directive is the best. I just haven't figured it out yet because I don't trust him, because I don't believe that he loves me. If this is something that you merely want to do for God, here's another thing. Some of us are involved in doing things. We've made steps. We've taken some drastic steps. We've done some things that have put ourselves on the line for the kingdom of God. Some of you in here have done some things that have put you out there on the line. Some of you are doing things trying to support your family. You're in businesses. You're trying to go back to school. You're doing some things and you said, I need to take this step. I need to go out this way just a little bit farther. But the problem is that some of us, after we get out there, we stop and we begin to rethink what we've done, because it doesn't look like God is providing. But what I want to tell you is that if God wants to do it, if he has called you to do it, he has ordained for you to do it, he will provide the way. Now, if it's just something that I want to do, you know, my dad is a very giving person and he's moved by compassion very easily. And there are some things I've seen in my whole life, you know, some of the things I'll tell on him while he's still here. And then I'll tell on him really well after he leaves. But you know, some of the things that we would do as I was growing up as a child is we would take food out of the refrigerator, out of the freezer, and we would take it to people's houses that needed food. Now, not every person that we gave to, not every person that he gives to, not every person that he blesses is because God told him to. It's just in his nature. It's who he is. Well, some of us get something going in our mind and in our heart, and we say, well, I think maybe God told me to do this. I'm not positive, but I think so. And then we get out in the middle of it and it doesn't work, and then we blame God. But what God is trying to say is, if you would have come to me in the first place, if you would have sought my face, if you would have been certain that this is what I want you to do, then I'll provide for you. God is not, he's not on the hook for your decisions. He's on the hook for his decisions. Now, that doesn't mean he won't get you out of it, but he's not responsible to. God is responsible to keep the word that he spoke to you because he's all knowing. So we have to get out of the habit of jumping first, and we have to get out of the habit, get into the habit of kneeling first. Last scripture is Isaiah 46, verses 10 and 11 that I wanted to read. I'm reading this from the New Living Translation. It's a little bit different. I just kind of like the way it was worded. Isaiah 46, 10 and 11. Only I can tell you the future before it happens. This is God speaking, by the way. Only I, God, can tell you the future before it happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. I will call a swift bird of prey from the east, a leader from a distant land to come and do my bidding. I have said what I would do, and I will do it. See, some of you have experiences with people and even your own experiences yourself where they've said to you, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I'm so thankful that I had a father who kept his word. I cannot tell you, and this is the truth, 42 years, I cannot tell you one time that my father did not keep his word to me. I can't tell you a time. I can't. Can you think of a time, Dad, where you've not kept your word to me? I can't think of it. I don't know that it has ever happened. And so it's easier for me to trust God, but some of us have people in our lives who don't even keep their word. And so when God begins to speak to you and God begins to deal with you and God begins to tell you things, you can't even believe what he wants to tell you because you're so worried that the other shoe is going to drop. You're so worried that everything's going to fall apart, that it's not going to be the way it seems because God is not able to keep his word. But can I tell you something? I hope that this inspires something in you. I hope that you can take this. Take Isaiah 46, 11, even just that last part of it. I have said what I will do, and I will do it. If God says it, he will do it. If God says it, he will do it. Steve, last Saturday at the men's meeting, talked a little bit about life. And I don't think I've shared much of this with you. If I have, overlook me. But I want to share just a little bit. In July of 2013, God began to speak. Well, it was even before that, when we moved here. You know, when we moved here in 2011... all of you know, or most of you know, I took a downgrade in my job, and I didn't lose much money, thank God, but they made me drive an hour each way to Winston just to be here. We moved here. We gave up our houses. We had to find tenants to live in our houses. We had to move all of our belongings down this way. I had to leave my mother in a nursing home. She was dealing with dementia. She didn't even know that I'd left, to be honest with you. I would call and talk to her, but she didn't even know I'd left. But do you know how hard that was for me to hear the voice of God saying, go, and to leave everything I left? I left my father up there. I left all of my family. I left, the position that I was in, the job that I had. And we came down here, but we did it because we heard the voice of God say to do it. So Jennifer and I had been praying, and I've continually felt the weight of the ministry here at the church. Jennifer and I have been called a pastor for 15 years, but we had never been full-time in ministry, and we had never devoted all of our effort to ministry. It was something that we had to do outside of jobs. And so in July of 2013, God said to me, well, he was speaking to both of us. And the way I know that is because when I said what I said to her, she agreed immediately because my wife doesn't automatically agree with everything because she understands the weight of what she's agreeing with. Do you understand what I mean? And so in July, we were praying and asking God what we should do and what His will was for our life, because I knew it just did not seem like that everything was going to continue in Winston the way it was. I could have had that job until I retired. They were not going to fire me, but I wasn't happy. And in the 13 years that I did that job, I was always happy. I always enjoyed it, but God had allowed some dissatisfaction to come in. And so I began to pray, God, what is your will for our life? What are you doing for us? What are you saying to us? And those of you who know what I did, you know, I was well paid for what I did, and I was very grateful for what God gave me, because God gave me that job. But when it came to July, or the end of June and July, we had reached a point where we knew God was saying something to us, but we didn't know what. And so I took some time to pray, and Jennifer and I took some time to seek God's face and to hear what God was saying and to listen to His word and to hear what He was wanting to do with us. Because a big change like what we initiated at that point is not something you enter into lightly. God spoke to me. This is what He said to me. And also, if you're not sure whether or not God has spoken to you, I can only tell you from my personal experience. I've had leadings in my spirit where I felt like that's what God was saying, and the leaders in my life agreed with that and said, yes, that's what God's saying. How many of you have ever experienced that? But only a couple times have I heard the voice of God say to me, this is what I want you to do. Twice. And the first time was when He called me into ministry when I was 15. And the second time was in July in 2013. And the Lord spoke to me, and I'll never forget as clearly as I'm standing here. I heard the Spirit of the Lord say to me, I want you to quit your job. And then He said to me, and you know, this is me. I'm very practical. And I said, but God, what will we do? What will we do? How will we pay the bills? For the last 5 or 6 years, we had cleaned things up and we had been going in a very positive direction, and God had been supplying our needs and taking care of us, and we were able to get rid of debt and able to get rid of other things. But I still said, God, how will we pay our bills from week to week? Because I don't have that much money in the bank. I probably didn't even have a check in the bank. I don't even think I had that at the moment. And God said, I hold you in the palm of my hand. As clearly as I'm standing here today, He said, I've got you in the palm of my hand. And I'll never forget, I was a blubbering mess for probably a week after that, because it was so clear. It was so concise. It was so plain. He said, I've got you in the palm of my hand. But can I be honest with you about something? I don't know that God would have been able to speak to me about that situation if I had not taken some time to seek Him, just like David did here in chapter 5 of 2 Samuel. Just like you, some of you are trying to do. We have to come to the place where we are looking at our situations in our lives, and instead of operating based on the way we used to do it and operating based on what we used to know and who we used to be, we have to operate based on what God is saying to us. So when He spoke to me those words and He said, I've got you in the palm of my hand, it was at that moment easy for me to do anything. And so I said, God, what you just speak to me? What do I need to do? And He said, I'll show you. He said, I'm not going to tell you everything right now, but I'm going to show you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you. And I said, okay, I can handle that, God. And He said, but there's one thing that I have to tell you. You have to quit your job on Monday. And I said, You know, but I'm just telling you, when the presence of God is on you and you can feel His Spirit and you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that He's speaking to you, it's easy to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So I came home. I told Pastor Mark and Pastor Karen. And of course, I'm blubbering and I'm crying and Jennifer's filling in the gap. So I'm trying to explain what's happened to us. And it's been several days since He spoke to us. But we're still sitting there blubbering and crying and trying to get over, you know, all the things because the Holy Spirit was so thick and so strong even at that moment. And my father-in-law looked at me and said, "Do you have to do it on Monday?" He did. I mean, he agreed. He felt a witness because he knows I don't make decisions on the spur of the moment. It's just not who I am. That's not what I do. And so he said, "Do you have to? Do we have some time to pray about it? Because I need to come into agreement with you. Because you have to understand, I don't get a salary from the church. You understand that, right? I'm not saying that in any other way except to say at this point, it's not possible. We have a roof." We have tile. We have things that God has provided for us. I'm not one of those things at this point. You understand what I'm trying to say? So he had to pray about it because he felt responsible for me. And I took him off the hook. I said, "No, God spoke to me and he said." Well, Dad still feels responsible for you. So he said, "Do you have to do it Monday?" And I said, "The only thing I can tell you is the Lord said I had to go on Monday." Can I tell you why I had to go on Monday? Because when I went into my boss's office, actually, I couldn't get in her office because her door was shut. So I sent her a message and I said, "I need to speak with you. It's very important at your convenience today." And she said, "I don't have time for you today. Maybe tomorrow." And the Lord said, "Do you see what I'm trying to take you out of?" And so I went back to her the next day and I said, "You said to come to you today. Again, this is my message because I can't get to her." And I said, can I talk to you today? "I don't know. I'll have to see if I have some time for you." And God said, "Can you see? I'm making it easier for you." Because when God speaks, He makes the way. I said all that to say this. At that moment, it was easy for us to say, "I'm going to do it." It's easy for us to commit to certain things. It's easy for us to say, "God, I will." But our real understanding, our true belief system in God is walked out when we consider what He is saying after we've said yes. Think about that for just a minute. When we're in the middle of it, and I can tell you now, almost 2 years later, there are moments in time where I say, "Well, maybe I should do this or maybe I should do that." And the God continues to speak to me and say, "Listen, just hold the course. I've got this taken care of." But it's so easy for us in our own lives. It's so easy for us in the things that we're going through to say, "But maybe I made a mistake. I hope that this is helping somebody today." It's so easy for us to say, "But I can't do it. I thought I could do it." How many of you have done that? "I thought I could do it, but I just can't." If God has spoken it, if God has told you that this is His plan for you, that this is His desire for you, there is no can't. The can't is more about what you think of God than what God thinks about Himself. Hear me. If God has said, "This is what I have designed for you. This is what I have desired for you. This is my plan for you." And you say, "But God, I can't." You're not really saying that you can't do it. You're saying God can't do it. Do you hear me? You're limiting His power. You're limiting His ability. You're limiting who He is. Your statement, even though it is correct, "You cannot do it yourself," is still coming against the very nature of God in saying, "God, not only can I not do it, but I don't think you can either." Hear me. See, we try to put this on ourselves and say, "It's me, I'm the problem." But God is saying, "Don't you understand? I hold you in the palm of my hand. I have created a destiny for you and a purpose." In Jeremiah, He says, "I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, and I had a plan." So God is saying, I hold you already in the palm of my hand. I've got this. So when you say, I can't do it, it is actually you going against the very nature of God and saying, God, it's not that I can't do it, but I don't believe that you can do it through me. Oh my goodness. God, it's not that I doubt that you are able. Yes, that is what you're saying. God, I can't do it. No, you're saying God can't do it. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? So the Lord said these three things must be developed. The first thing is that God is love. He doesn't ask you to do something out of a reason with a malintent, a bad intent. He doesn't do it to put you on the spot. He does it because he loves you, and that is his plan for you. When he speaks to you and he gives you direction, it's because he knows already how it's going to turn out. And not only that, but the last thing, God is all powerful. See, we sing, we talk about Acts chapter 2. This is where I'm going to end. We talk about Acts chapter 2. And we talk about the power. And I've talked about this, I've referenced this, I've preached on this so many times, but it's so relevant still today. There is power in the name of Jesus, but the power that comes through Jesus is not power so that we can be super Christians, so that we can be super people. It's power so that when the doubts and the disappointments and the problems rise up, it's power so that I can say, no, not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. That power that he comes, that he brings to us, is power to overcome the world. It's power to talk to my doubting self. It's power to talk to my insecurities and my fears. It's power to begin to move past my own issues and to say, God, I know that you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. Do you understand what I'm saying today? The power that we have is not power that is meant to just cast out devils. It is power to believe that thus saith the word of God. That's more powerful than anything else. If you can change your mind, you can change your life. Do you hear me? This is not psychological babble. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, I have given you power so that you can change your mind. Oh my God. I've given you power so that you can believe. I've given you power not just so you can act, but so that you can actually believe it. Power to overcome. You can't overcome without his power. When your life is centered in God's activity, he will actually rearrange your thinking. God's ways and thoughts are so different from yours that they often appear wrong. How many of you know that's true? They often appear unloving. Well, if God loved me, he wouldn't ask me to do that. They often appear impossible. There is no way I can do that. We actually have to sing songs about that there is nothing impossible for God. We have to sing those songs because in our own minds, everything's impossible. Everything is awesome. Oh, sorry, wrong song. You will often realize that the task he assigns you is far beyond your power or your resources to accomplish. When he speaks to you and he calls you to do something, what he asks you to do is usually elevated. What good is it for you to just continue doing what you're doing? When God speaks to you and he says, this is who you are, this is what I want you to do, it's usually something that makes you come up a little higher. It's something that makes you grow. How many of you know if you didn't make your kids take out the trash or do their chores, they're not going to do it because they don't want to stretch themselves? Maybe that's only at our house. I don't know. But I'm thinking most children are like that. So you actually have to stretch them and pull them. And so we are with God as God's children. He says, I know you don't feel comfortable. I know you don't want to do it, but trust me. As soon as you recognize that the job appears to be humanly unattainable, you need to be ready to believe God and to trust him completely. As soon as you know you can't do it, Don't sulk about it. Please hear me. I know that's hard. Trust me. I know that's hard. Don't overeat. Don't go looking for the other thing. Don't get depressed. Don't get upset. Instead, fall on your knees before God. Because when you say, I can't, you're saying, God can't. When we announce what we think we can't do in response to God's word, we're actually saying more about our faith in God than we are in our own abilities. My faith in God rather than in my own abilities. Either we believe that God is all powerful or we don't. When we declare that it is impossible for you to do what God said, you show your doubts about how powerful He is. It's one thing to believe in God's power. It's another to live your life in obedient response to the all-powerful God. Faith and trust go hand in hand. Believing and obeying work together. The only thing that I have a question about, some of our faith movement ideas, because I believe you need to change your confession. You need to change your what comes out of your mouth. You need to change the way you talk. I believe that 100%. No question about it. But you have to change your attitude about it as well. Do you hear what I'm saying? Otherwise, we just become a people of doublespeak. I'm blessed and highly favored. Yes, I think you need to confess that. But what are you doing in your life to show that? How often are you spinning on your knees before God asking Him to continue that blessing and to continue His favor in your life? When a situation comes, how do we respond to it? God is love. Can we sing that song? God is love. God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. But not only do I have to believe that or say that or confess that, but I have to live that. I have to live that. I have to live that. No wonder so many people think we're flaky. Because we say one thing out of our mouth and we do another. The Bible talks about that there will become a time where men are preaching the fabric and the framework of power, but denying the power of God. If we're not careful, that's what we become. Faith and trust must go hand in hand. So my question to you for this week is, do you trust God? Do you believe that He is love? Don't believe, does He love you? Do you believe that He is love? Do you believe that He knows all there is to know? Do you believe that He is powerful enough to do everything He said? Those are the three questions I have for you this week. Do you believe that God is love?